שלום, אנחנו בשיעור בנושא חנוכה.
Hello. We're going to read chosen passages on Chanukah.
Chanukah explains to us how we reach the correction of the vessels, that in them the upper force is revealed. The correction of the vessels. What do we have in creation? We have the will to bestow, called the Creator, the will to receive, which is the created being. And we see on the different degrees in creation, the stages, the still vegetative, inanimate, and speaking, different degrees of coarseness of avyut, and the bigger the avyut, the more developed is the created being. And the gap between the creation and the creator is bigger. Meaning, as the more light and darkness are distant from one another, it's the advantage of the light over the darkness, so then the created being can discern between them and advance in that way. Sometimes it's unpleasant things that the created being goes through, because the great light and the great darkness and the gap, it just throws the created being in all kinds of directions. But there's no other way. In order to bring the created being to the state where it's developed, it has to go through all these extreme states. Also in our life, in everything that develops, we see that the contradiction between the two states, must be a contradiction which, well, the biggest contradiction possible. That's what the Creator does with us. He brings us feelings of darkness, which come against the light. That's how we feel it. When we're in darkness, in a unclear states, where we don't feel good, helplessness, anxieties, fears, wars, that people come upon us to attack us. There's physical states and states that are only inside man. And a person needs to go through them and be in them, dwelled in them for a certain time in these unpleasant states, until he decides that he must come out of them. What for? Either. Well, first, he'll want to feel better, that that's a natural, corporeal, beastly condition, or that a person, it's not, doesn't suit him to be so low, or maybe now he can determine that a different reason to come out of the darkness. That he should give contentment to the Creator, be responsible for the friends, and so on. Meaning, coming out of the darkness to the light can be from a corporeal, beastly tendency that he doesn't want to suffer, till such a tendency that he owes the friends, or he wants to give contentment to the Creator. And then, and according to that, when he does come out of that darkness, he also has a different feeling in the good state. Or the good state isn't because he feels good, but because he knows what the good and bad are for. Or he could just feel good. Some confidence came back, a good feeling, calmness. And that's good. It all depends to the extent he was in the darkness before, and in contradiction as much as he can climb to the light. That's what we learn from the state called Chanukah. Because truly, not instantly, not in one time, does the state called Chanukah take place. But in each and every degree, there's like a mini Chanukah. In every state. That there's darkness and a war. Our desires to reach the Creator are attacked. Desires to dvikut, to connection, as much as a person has in him. He feels bad, darkness, lack of confidence, fears, the whole world is against him. And then gradually, with the studies, persistency, and everything that regards attaining the goal, comes to the state that he finds the tin of oil, even though everything's shattered, the temple, he finds a point in the heart there, the small vessel of oil, and he can light it. He understands that it comes from the Creator, this whole salvation, and can uplift. Uplift, purify himself, cleanse himself. Until the next time. And each time, the darkness is bigger, the fears and anxieties are bigger, the world is destroyed in his eyes in a way that seems more severe. He doesn't understand how it'll ever be corrected. And the opposite too, that he still deals with it. He comes to the lessons, he comes to the Yeshivat Chaverim, workshops, and invests. So whatever the mind doesn't do, time does. Time is the number of occasions or exertions that he can give until he is rewarded in coming out of the state again. And that way, every time, it's a little bit of that great war called the War of the Maccabees. And every time again, the gap between the darkness, that he's in helplessness and fears and anxieties, despair, even physical feelings in the body that aren't good, as if he's sick. And afterwards, and according to that, when he attains, it all came from none else besides him, and good and benevolent, and there's no other choice but to increase that gap between the light and darkness in order to reach a state where that gap becomes a spiritual vessel. That it doesn't happen at once, but through many hundreds of states a person has to go through in order for that gap to grow between the state of descent to ascent in all kinds of different manners, what he determines. What he determines time and again, what is an ascent, what is a descent, what is light, what is darkness, until he advances to changing these discernments about light and darkness, which are more in quality, or and then he reaches the vessel. that then he understands that he needs the darkness and he needs the light, that they will both be together, one against the other. He is already prepared in holding them both, not to be thrown from one to the other like a little child crying or laughing, but really in control on the two, in something. And what is he in control? Well, in our case, that he annuls himself. That is called the embryo. That it doesn't matter what states I go through, but I determine that I need them. And even though next time it'll happen again and I'll go into darkness and a descent, I won't control myself because every time it's a greater state than what it was before. But I know that I will fall in there, and that's how it's supposed to be. And in general, in the process, I thank the Creator and understand and give gratitude to Him. That's how we advance. So what I wanted to say is that Chanukah truly exists in every state. Because all states we go through on the path to acquire the quality of bestow, the quality of Bina. When we are ready to stick our Malchut in our Bina, that is the beginning of our development. That is the conception for the first time. When we finish this process in building the Galgal Ta'anayim in their complete measure, that is the full Chanukah, the whole Chanukah. That it's not just parking, but it's an inversion in our work. That from that state of Chanukah, it's not that we stop. There's no such thing in spirituality. But we exchange the form of work. That afterwards we're going to start working with the will to receive. That it'll be in order to bestow. That'll be towards Purim. So let's start seeing these things in Chanukah, but again, remember that these states between darkness and light, first of all, it comes from none else besides Him, and only towards good and benevolent, and they're essential in order to create a vessel in us, to establish that vessel in us, that without that, we can't reach the goal. Please. Any questions, please? No? Okay.
Excerpt number 3. Rabash, the Greeks have surrounded me. The Greeks have gathered against me in the days of the Hashmonites. Greeks are the Klipa shell against sanctity. Sanctity is Bchinat faith, above reason, while the Greeks walk precisely within reason and come exactly during the time of the Hashmonaim. Meaning exactly when one wants to walk in the path of holiness. However, prior to this, there's no place for the Greeks, since the Creator made them one against the other, which is the matter of everyone greater than his friend, his inclination is greater than his. Again. The Greeks have gathered against me in the days of the Hashmonaim. Greeks are the Klipa against sanctity. Sanctity is Bchinat faith above reason, while the Greeks walk precisely within reason and come exactly during the time of the Hashmonaim. Meaning exactly when one wants to walk in the path of Kedusha, holiness. However, prior to this, there's no place for the Greeks, since the Creator made them one against the other, which is a matter of everyone greater than his friend, his desires are greater than his.
There's da'at, reason, and there's faith above reason. Da'at is in malchut, faith above reason is bina. How do we build the da'at, the reason, and how do we build the faith above reason? Those two sides. That without the Greek, we can't be Jews. The Greek are in reason. We also know that in philosophy, science, all those things. Faith above reason is the force of bestowal above the force of reception. That we are in adhesion to the upper force no matter what we're going through. Above reason. How do we build the reason and the above reason? That only those two can exist one against the other. Please. It says the Creator created one against the other. So how do we aid that? How do we perform that? Please.
So we have to look at the work seriously, calmly, to see what we have to do, and then start working above that, meaning not annulling the corporeal opinion I have, but that it has to be there in order for me to do the work.
Yeah, and to work above it, to understand that everything I understand in reason is very limited, and there's a lot I don't understand yet, and then I'll have to do. And that's what the upper force is aiming me towards, and that's above what I understand.
The work begins, first of all, above reason. It starts with faith that correspondingly the reason awakens. But first of all, we have to set that faith above reason. And at first we get that from above, but later on we have to do the work. To begin with faith, and then to work with it above reason.
Rav, how can I define the Greeks within me? That image. That specifically in an opposite form of it, I can build the Adam that resembles the Creator.
The Greek in me is the image that likes resting, knowing everything, understanding every action, why do we do it, and not to do anything that not wanting to rule out others doing things that I don't understand.
Yeah, that's similar to the Greek in me.
Rav, the Greeks aren't the despised ego. It could be a very It could be someone who's smart, joyful, who wants to make the world a better place. We respect such people in our world. These aren't beasts. They really want to make the world a better place. They care for other people. Maybe it's the environmentalists, maybe other good people. The Greeks, they're not wicked. They build only within reason. Within reason. It's not that they want to destroy and kill the world, but they simply want to do everything within reason. They're exactly against those who serve the Creator. Therefore, those that are precisely aimed against us, and you'll start differentiating them, they're the Greeks. It's not just the common folk that doesn't want to listen, doesn't want to hear about the wisdom of Kabbalah, don't want to exert. But it is those that are against the path of the Creator. These are the Greeks, and they can be smart people and good people and so on and so on. So what are the Greeks? Talk about it.
It's actually someone inside me that keeps wanting to put the rationality in order in the actions we do. Take every discernment, put it in my brain, make a process out of it. We always try to put patterns in our head that will explain why if we do this, we'll get this. Why if we put efforts in love of friends, we'll get love of the Creator. And every time we do it, not by adhesion in the upper one, but for the brain to understand.
Meaning, the Greek does everything that we do here. Only at the end, I have to get something in return. There has to be a result. I have to discover something, understand something. Something has to happen. But to come to the Yeshivat Chavarim, serve the group, do everything. But eventually to get something in return.
I think the main part here is who's in control. Am I in control on everything that's happening? And me. Or am I willing to research and see and find and discover the upper force that is working all of reality?
Greek is he who eventually isn't searching for the upper force, but who's searching for power inside the group, and everything that he does it out of his own rationale.
Yeah, it's not an upper force that I can adhere to like somebody important or honorable, that maybe a bit of that honor and forces will come upon me and see the Creator as something that will bring me benefit inside in this life.
Yeah, he wants to rationally understand things. He wants to look and see where is he going. Very rational.
I'm not sure he wants it all in order to receive. He just wants to understand the path. To see that these actions bring these results. When you go above reason, you just have to be in adhesion without understanding, without your brain.
Where does the Greek wisdom come from? Where do they get the wisdom from? The Creator?
History, we know that the Greek studied from the Kabbalists, but it's like saying, I got all the wisdom I take from nature and take, say that I discovered it, and it to detach it from the cause in this formula.
Yeah, they felt that they're very powerful due to all the knowledge they have of the world, and that they can attain the meaning of life here among us without any attainment, without any attempt of searching for the upper force.
The Greek thinks that his wisdom came from his research, from his desire to understand and research nature. And we know it's from the Creator, but not in our internal feeling, and for sure not externally.
Yeah, there's something about the Greeks that they wanted to build high buildings, meaning to take the laws of nature and see how can they build systems that will help us build a better life, that we as if become bosses over reality, that the more we understand, the more we accumulate the knowledge. It really says that we're forgetting about the source of everything and where does everything have to go, and putting ourselves in the center.
Meaning we have to find ourselves at some point at this time, called the Greek, in order to start developing. It seems that only from that we can start building something. Before that, there's nothing to talk about.
So, the Greek wisdom came from the wisdom of Kabbalah, that they took what the Kabbalah has, but they're trying to establish it as rational laws of this world, that if you do A, you'll get B.
Yeah, it's the first state inside us that we go through in every degree. The degree of the Greek, oh, I understand. And
excerpt number 4. Rabash, the miracle of Chanukah. The governance of the Greeks, which is the opposite of the way of Judaism. The matter of the Greeks is that we must go only within reason, in both mind and heart. Naturally, when Israel wanted to go above reason and not consider what the outer mind necessitates, they could not. This is called the war against the Greeks. This is when the real work begins, namely that the people of Israel wanted to mount the track that leads to dvikut, adhesion with the Creator. This path is called faith above reason. The Greeks wanted to control the body, so it will not relinquish anything unless the reason agrees to it. Again, the governance of the Greeks, which is the opposite of the way of Judaism, the matter of the Greeks is that we must go only within reason, in both mind and heart. Naturally, when Israel wanted to go above reason and not consider what the outer mind necessitates, they couldn't. This is called the war against the Greeks. This is when the real work begins, namely that the people of Israel wanted to mount the track that leads to dvikut with the Creator. This path is called faith above reason.
When does the war of the Greeks start? In the Maccabim. Talk between you. When does the war begin? And what kind of war is it?
That the Greeks want to cancel the presence of the upper force and the way to reach him and reveal him.
When they feel that the only way to come and discover him is in vessels that are above your understanding. And that point, when they understand that, and then the resistance starts, that we have to take it onto our brain and see how to attain the Creator.
Yeah, it's exactly one against the other. This is how it grows, that a person starts developing a serious yearning for correcting himself, to come out of himself in the direction of the ten, start bestowing, developing a new intention, then suddenly Greeks, the Greeks come and start resisting it, and you know, creating a force that resists it.
Yeah, they grow parallel. After you acquire the quality of Bina, then the Greeks start coming with the more forces.
Yeah, on the one hand, it's possible that this is a war revealed by man time and time again that eventually makes a very clear calculation, not doing anything above reason, but everything is calculated. It's simply that at first he doesn't see it. And the other thing is that maybe after everything that he does succeed in doing above reason, the Greek writes down the equation, puts it in the box, and then you can no longer do it. And that's within reason.
The war starts when we have to go above reason. Everything's clear. And
Rav, let's imagine a case, not just something, but something real, that we have a situation that we have to rise above. That's called a war against this opinion, meaning against our Greeks. What desire, what thought do we have to have in mind and heart that we suddenly detect as the Greeks? And then that we have to rise from that, and then exactly what do we have to rise from? What are we fighting? Very concrete and to the point, without many words. Two states. Before the war, and after the war.
So here in the workshop, we're speaking, I'm listening to a friend, doesn't seem right to me, but along with that, I want to overcome that and love him, and that the upper force will come and give me a quality that is above that, that loves this friend.
In any case where my opinion is against the opinion of society, and I have to fight my opinion, and eventually agree with the opinion of society that it is above my own.
For example, like Odette said, I say even the workshop itself. One time I don't see that it even advances us into spirituality. That can be the Greek. And then the next time I go above reason and do it because that's what society determines and that's where it's leading us.
Yeah, a workshop is a beautiful example that you're going there in order to lower your opinion and strengthen the one outside of you. And the struggles on the way, these are the struggles of spiritual advancement.
Yeah, the Greek, it's probably someone, what's speaking from me now, concentrate, you have to say something wise now. And the Maccabi is, we have to do like a more internal action to invite the upper light so we can listen to each other from a different level. Especially here in the focus group, we can even see that even more.
If we look at the sentence, from love of friends to the love of the Creator, that on the one hand, if you want to reach love the Creator through love of friends, you have to go above reason. And if we are trying to understand that, yes, truly, through the love of friends, we can start understanding how the Creator works and getting constant justification for this sentence that it's true, then that's searching for the Greeks in us. The war is for everything to be in this template or to follow what the Kabbalists say. Questions?
If I see we have to connect to give contentment to the Creator and the group, do actions, so it's all Greeks, it's all in reason.
Depending for what reason. Why do I have to connect, do everything I do in the group? Tell me why, and then I'll tell you whether it's the Greeks or not.
I believe it'll give contentment to the Creator.
You believe this? I don't know. What's the goal?
Contentment for the Creator.
So I'll ask. Atop what desires and thoughts, mind and heart, do you wish to determine your attitude towards the Creator?
There's no resistance. I just believe that it's simply believe.
No, there's no such thing as simply. If there's no resistance, there's no war, there's nothing. We can only do it one against the other. Yeah?
So only when a descent starts, when I feel the rejection, the lack of desire that...
No, not yet. This is why I asked the series of questions.
So when does it start?
You have to find when. I have to be against the Creator, against serving the Creator, the work of the Creator. I can't feel, can't understand, can't be in it at all. But I have to have a point where I come down to the will to receive, a point that I feel to its very depth. Gradually I feel its depth, and there I feel the oppositeness to sanctity. Meaning when I go down to the will to receive, I want to rest, I don't want to think about anything, I'm fed up with all of these efforts, I feel ill, I want to sleep. Well, to get rid of it all, what do I need it for? In short, the body, the will to receive, is looking for tranquility. As I descend and descend, but still, I keep on going in this process with the group, with the studying, with the different things. So even though that I descend, in this descent, and this additional will to receive that pulls me further into it, precisely there I start feeling the attribute opposite to it, that all that is given in order for me to rise above it, in its opposite, not canceling the will to receive, with anxieties and fears and the discomfort and so on, but that I have to rise above it, to keep it, protect it. This is something that we're usually not that concerned with. And to rise above it in a state where, despite all of the disturbances that I have and the darkness and everything, I want to achieve just one thing, like you said, the point of connection with the Creator in order to give Him contentment, meaning that my state actually doesn't change. Besides, the outcome, the result of this state, which is contentment.
No.
Right?
А кто такие хашмонеи? Они ведь притворяют приход греков, да?
Who are the Hashmonaim? What they prevent the Greek?
Предваряют. Приходят прежде греков.
Sorry, do they come before the Greek?
Еваним, коль... The Greeks are the rational thoughts and desires that exist in us, that say how we have to get along in our current state according to everything that we have at our disposal in this world. These are Greeks. rationalism, logic. In short, from the intellect, from reason, how do we have to determine our attitude towards life, development, everything? Meaning, the situation is that I really feel how right they are. They're telling how to develop, how to correct the world in respect of rationale, science, wisdom, statistics, because you see what's going on. This is how you have to behave, because everyone else does too. Why do you feel pressured? Because you're not behaving the way you should in accordance with a healthy mind and heart. And if you get rid of it, if you get rid of all your fantasies, hallucinations, approach, your delusional approach to life, then everything is going to be fine. You'll be rational, a philosopher, scientist, like everyone. And everyone will understand you, and you'll be able to justify the world and everything, get along with everyone. Otherwise, you're opposed to everything. You disagree with what the Creator did in our world. How is that possible?
So the Hashmonim in Greek are the same?
This is how it sounds from what I explained?
I asked about the Hashmonim.
The Hashmonaim are the priests in the spiritual work that say that they are the ones that differentiate, because the people of Israel, they don't. They're in descent under the rule of the Greeks. But the higher part of the people of Israel, called the Hashmonaim, the priests, Kohens, they understand that the war that Israel's fighting, it's there in order to allow Israel to transcend that. If we take the darkness that we have in our vessels and against it we'll start building the right line, the light, then this way we will build the correct attitude towards the Creator that didn't build the darkness simply so, but we have to get rid of it. No, that we have to take this aviyut, which is called the oil, and to shine to the world, radiate to the world, not the corporeal light anymore, but spiritual light now, where we rise in faith above reason. This is something that I can't explain. It's something that a person gets gradually, slowly, that he rises to this feeling and gets it. Like I said in the beginning of the lesson, how the darkness and light are ups and downs, opposite states that reach a certain oppositeness between them, typical of each and every person, where then he starts feeling what is reason and what is faith above reason.
Можно ли сказать, что хашмония это какой-то недостаток в нашей работе, который позволяет прийти к грекам?
Could be that the хашмонаи is a lack, or that we are like a corruption in the work that will bring for the rise of the Greek?
Not at all. If we don't identify with the Hashmonaim, with the light, with in order to bestow, then we do not achieve increasing the Greeks in us. That this is also something that we have to see. right, left, left, right. This is the way on 2 feet.
So in what is the Hashmonai different than the Maccabi?
In the meantime, for us, it's the same.
Oleg from Peter Group is asking, when do the Greeks appear? What stage?
The Greeks appear when a person really wants to achieve real connection with the friends. Then he starts feeling resistance. But this is a war that goes on for a long time, all the degrees from Malchut to Bina until you attain the Bina in its final form. It's all a war. It's resistance. It's first, it's resistance that's on and off.
Student from Moscow is asking, what's the difference between the Greek and the Egyptians?
There's a big difference. The Egyptians, they're just the will to receive. The Greeks, they're an ideology.
Alex from Marad is asking, is the wisdom of the Greek coming from the Creator, and do they attain Him?
The wisdom of the Greeks, sure, it comes from the Creator like everything else does. It's a rational wisdom. All of the wisdoms of the world, they came through the Greeks. All the wisdoms of the world came because or from resistance to the work of the Creator, to serving the Creator. And this is the essence of the wisdoms of the world.
You answered.
Moshe, yes.
What are those feeling of lowness that the Israel feels? There's the Greek, and there's the Maccabim, and then there's the nations of Israel, me, that feels low, that it wants to go in rationality, just like the Greek. On the other hand, to go above reason, you'll keep falling here or there.
The people of Israel can't go above reason, but only a small part of it, called the Levites, Kohens, they can go above reason. This is the head of the nation, the Sanhedrin, or the big Knesset. And the common folk, they can't do it. They don't have the brains for it. And Israel, they can only yield towards what the great ones who are in attainment of the Creator say. And therefore, the war is actually over the nation. That the nation, the desires, I mean, that's the difference between the Rosh, the head, and the Guf, the body. That the Rosh is still in sanctity. In the fight of the Maccabees, and the body is already in impurity, that it has to be corrected.
How does the nation get importance?
The people, they don't want it. They're Hellenists. They agree with the Greeks. Look what they did in Jerusalem. They built. Sculptures, idols. This was a result of their spiritual work. And the nation supported the Greeks because, rationally wise, it's all true. We have to use the Torah and everything, including the wisdom of Kabbalah. We have to use it all for our own benefit. It's Kabbalah, meaning reception. This is how they distorted it. It's not that they distorted it even. They didn't reach the understanding of what does it mean in order to bestow. Just like us, we too are still devoid of this feeling of what in order to bestow is. And therefore we can be twisted in any direction. Like a little child, like a baby, you can play with him however you want. What does he know? What does he understand? This is how we are too. Therefore, we're all the time in danger of deviating from the way and the direction of the mind. And we do it all the time. Only due to the power of the group that we have to integrate in and help them, they'll help us in our vut. Only this force and the daily lessons, twice a day, morning, evening, only they set us back on course. But if not, a person falls and he doesn't even feel that he falls. He starts bowing to Zeus and others. And it's a very rational wisdom. All the sciences of the world, science in general, came from there. It came from the opposite of the wisdom of Kabbalah. What does it mean, opposite? The wisdom of Kabbalah respects science, only depending how you use it. If you use it in order to benefit your life in this world, it's a klipa. And this is what we have in modern science. Therefore, someone asked, how will we advance? How will we discover that the world is discovering that all this development, all this wisdom, it's to its detriment, that we're plunging into drugs and this and that. And as a result, we come to the question of what do we need it all for? What do we need all this development for? The main thing is give me a drug or something to feel good, and that's it.
But also externally, like seeing for the benefit of the body, that it'll be healthy and so on. And also in every thought, even during the lesson, I can get a certain thought and think that I'm in control of the thought and so on, or to ascribe it to him. In every scrutiny, it's there, but where do I fall? If I see it as the Greek is important, or if I see this is important, so how do we get the forces and not to fall?
Only through society. Someone who feels that he can fall at any given moment, and he can't hold himself up, and he has to make sure that he'll advance correctly. He understands that it's only through the group. You need external support, which is the Creator, that through society can influence a person. The wisdoms of the world, all of them, come from the revelation of the resistance towards the Creator.
Correct. But what's the main part in them? That we discover the world. That's the motto. That's the purpose of science, to discover the world, to discover all the forces working in the world, and we, in our mind and our feelings, we're doing it.
But rationally wise, how is it possible that a person that comes without the correct intention, how can he discover anything? We learn that you have to develop the intention and then you discover.
No, in our will to receive, we reveal the small lights and they build in our vessels what we call science. It's that part of the light that you can discover in order to receive. That's why it's limited. And we feel we're reaching its end. If you ask scientists, they'll tell you, we have reached the end of science. We don't feel how we can advance anymore in our approach. And breaking through, they don't know how to do. But if you ask the scientists, they'll say, that's it. What we're continuing to do in science is in a technical manner and not concepts. Technically, meaning statistics, all kinds of experiments on all kinds of things, but gathering and gathering data. And from that, trying to build all kinds of things that are supposedly new, but they're not new. There is none. Yeah.
Meaning the Greek in us has to reach the understanding that science and any other wisdom humanity developed, it's only a tiny portion of the true wisdom that exists.
They can't reach that. Also, when I talk to them, they feel that, oh, maybe there's some development here. Well, there's a few of them that maybe we could draw them into Kabbalah, but usually they don't have that question because they're under a very deep approach that everything is acquired by the brain. Intellectual development and not in faith. They don't understand or feel what it is. Imagine as much as you want to understand what faith is, and you can't. What is be still? I don't know. Never felt it. But sometimes they want to be still to somebody. That's not spiritual be still. Not yet. So what, you're going to demand something from a scientist?
The Greeks, they'll accompany us till the end of correction, or we get rid of them in Chanukah?
We get rid of the Greek in Chanukah, and then we continue with the others, still pulling.
In our work against the Greeks and in our desire to rise above reason, is it a complete work? I mean, what you feel on the way is that the work's always, at least this is how I feel, that it's partial, incomplete, you feel some darkness in your retreat.
That obviously isn't the complete work. What else can we demand of you?
I'm asking whether this is how it's built, this form of work, or a day will come where the work with the Greeks will be complete.
When you acquire the quality of Bina and will be able to work upon your will to receive to some height or depth in it, then it'll be a different work, but also then you'll be limited. You'll feel constantly limited to Gmar Tikkun. Yes, Master.
And then after this story, he says, begins the real work where the people of Israel want to reach the Creator. What is the real work that he tells us about?
I don't know, I heard there's such a thing.
What is that? What do I have to do?
I asked a few things, well, not like these, more spicy. I asked the Rabash, and he says, I once heard from my dad, that's how I used to say it, that the true work is when a person feels how he is, even though he's against that rational, egoistic idea that tells him everything's correct in this world, and in 100% there's nothing to change, everything's so beautiful and good and organized under laws, but I Can I go? Must I go? Yes. I must overcome to a different degree of thinking. What does that mean? That above all these ideas, these rational ideas, these laws of nature, there is another force of the Creator that works above the laws of this world and as opposed to them.
When I do work, that's what Rav, that's what he does. That's what he shows me. Forms that are super rational, super correct in this world. Both in the injustice between them and the media, and also in the precise science and everything. I have to accept the power of faith when I'm adhered to the form of bestowal on top of there's nothing besides him, and live in this way.
You preceded me.
Meaning, where is there's nothing besides him? Listen. There's nothing besides him means all the laws of this world, all the Greeks. Yeah, listen. There, specifically there, the Creator is found. He is sustaining all of it, and you have to accept all of this above it. Meaning, if you're looking at the world in a realistic way, how are you looking at it? All of it is presented by the Creator to me, so that I would accept it, I won't disregard it, but together with accepting it, receiving it, I have to be also above it. Above it. I don't erase the world. I don't say the Creator is not present in the world. He's in everything and everywhere. He determines everything, meaning He sustains those Greeks. He created the will to receive intentionally with all of its depth and so on. And He's doing it, and He's showing this to me so that I would want to rise above it in faith above reason in order to accept His rule, His dominion, everything outside of me, not for my benefit. Only as long as I identify with Him.
You said a sentence that I didn't want to interrupt you. You said to preserve the state, not to escape it, to preserve it.
Of course. Although we say that we need to, as if we're tossed from one end to another. No. We have to, in order to move from one end to the other, from one extreme to the other, we have to try and be in both extremes together. That's the meaning of the middle line.
Just to get more to the bottom of it.
Yeah. Let's say now in the world, you have all sorts of problems. You are starting to receive this world with all of its problems, together with the fact that the Creator is inside of it with all those problems, and the fact that you're adhered to there's nothing besides Him, good and benevolent, inside all of your problems.
All right, I have troubles, and so what am I supposed to do? Not to come out of that? You know, a sane problem person cannot just remain in troubles all the time.
Of course, you have to make efforts to come out of them. The question is, what for? In order to not curse the Creator. That's how I understand you, right? Why else do you need to come out of your problems if the Creator is giving you those troubles?
I naturally want to run away.
No, this go to...
But I'm in troubles. I have to get out of these troubles.
If you're doing that, you're a beast.
Okay, so what do I need to do to not be a beast?
I told you, if you want to come out of your troubles, because inside those troubles, you're unable to bless the Creator.
How do I come to that state you're talking about?
That's a different question.
Naturally, what you tell me now, accept the trouble. I have enough troubles.
No. Be thankful.
Thankful?
Yeah, everything comes from the Creator. This is called concealed mercy.
All right, so I'm thankful to the Creator. Then what do I do next?
That in that, He truly has a good intention.
And then what? What's the next stage?
The next stage is that you see that it comes from the Creator. How is it called? Good and benevolent. And you don't feel it. meaning you are in the opposite qualities to him. If you were in the same qualities as him, you would feel good and benevolent. The fact that you feel bad, and him as doing bad, is because your vessels are corrupted. Ask for correction over your vessels. Why? In order to be identified with him, in order to not curse him, in order to understand him and to bless him. And for yourself, you don't care. You agree to receive anything even now. Oh, you're only doing it for this, to bless him.
So, this is what we need to come to. When I come to the quality of bestowal, I don't see the trouble as a trouble. I see it as a blessing, that's what you're saying?
Not yet as a blessing, but as an opportunity.
Opportunity for what?
To reach the fact that you will correct and bless the Creator.
And then the troubles disappear or still remain?
No, if you can bless the evil as the good, you're corrected. We need to try to do it, and then you'll see that this is how things work. Yes, Eli.
You said that once a person feels that his will to receive sits on him well, and he's immersed in it more further and further, then he finds an opportunity to continue the work even though he stays empty.
It comes to him like that from above. If he hits the floor and he suffers and nothing comes out of it except for the suffering because he's in his ego, then inside this ego he begins to discover the Creator's thought, the Creator's purpose, that he did all of this on purpose, intentionally, in order to awaken him towards faith. What is faith? That I begin to feel and understand and to tie all those states, even negative states, and as negative as they are, with the Creator. And how can I tie the bad to the Creator, the negative to the Creator? I don't see them as negative. I don't think of them in this way. Rather, I think of them as an opportunity to direct me in the good direction.
Where does this point come from, which is not the person's ego in the classic Greek form of it, where with all the criticism and everything, when he's rock bottom, there's suddenly a new point?
Because I'm connected to the environment and through it to the reforming light. If I don't have that, I can't come out into this. I'm in despair like the whole world. I don't even go down that much. I'm in this little layer of the ego, and that's it. That's how I live. That's how I die.
So the question is, where do you take this inversion from?
It's not us. It's our work. Our work is in the group, in the study, in all those things where we draw the reforming light.
There's like two lanes you can take. One, in that state of descent, I continue in that static state until I die. The second lane is where within what seems as death, a higher purpose emerges.
Through our participation in circles, with the Arvut, mutual guarantee and everything, this is the difference between the Creator's servant and someone who does not serve him. Okay. Yes, Uri.
You just spoke about Egypt and the difference between them and Greek. Then you talked about Purim. Can you describe the process so we know where we are right now? If it starts with Egypt, then there's like a work that's not connected, all the holidays, Rosh Hashanah, then all of a sudden the Greek.
Everything belongs to one thing, the process where we work on the ego, and nothing is irrelevant. We'll talk about it.
A religious person can claim that is working above reason.
I'm not talking about other things, other than those that belong to secular people or the workers of the Creator, servants of the Creator, people who are in all those other methods, beliefs, and so on. Let's not belong to that. It's not important. We talk only about the serving the Creator. If you want to continue in that, I don't want to continue in that. I have nothing to do with that.
No, it's just the question refers to when do we wish to receive within reason. Again, studying Kabbalah, attainment of the Creator, which is the goal. On the other hand, it's within reason. I'll understand why it's important, and then I'll do it.
No, I'll understand it above reason, in the force of bestowal. I can't understand anything except from my beastly state, what is now appearing in the world, in our world. To science, to philosophers, whatever you want. Whatever appears to people in this world, this is the maximum, not more than what we can reveal in our corporeal feeling and intellect. Everything else with faith. What is faith? The force of bestowal. When I build new vessels in which I can discover the reality and the laws that exist outside of me. If a person is going, is following this method, he has the ability, the possibility of discovering a new reality, a different approach, different vessels. In our vessels that work only in this absorption, we've reached the top in those vessels. There's nothing more. We see that the world is starting to eat, consume itself. It doesn't have anything more to enjoy from, to develop. Exhausted itself. So we see here such distorted forms, not the healthy development. The healthy development ended in the middle of the 20th century, if you want to say
it. Maybe I'll say it differently. Why what I'm doing here? I feel like I came to Kabbalah because I wanted to understand within reason why it's good to work for the Creator. So, why is the study of Kabbalah not within reason? Why isn't it Hellenism?
No, the study of Kabbalah is not within reason. It only appears this way to people who begin to study. They think they are studying within reason. But through the study, they get only one thing, which is truly special, and that is the reforming light. And this light gives a person new vessels, a new inclination, tendency, attraction to the quality of bestowal, to rise above the vessels of reception, the vessels of the intellect, and then he studies. Otherwise, it's not, you're not studying the wisdom of Kabbalah. That's the difference.
Насчет правильного использования науки вы говорили. Несколько.
With regards to the right use of science.
Я просто пытаюсь понять, как вообще можно использовать правильно науку, потому что все как бы аксиомы в науке, они основываются на том, что вот как греки говорят, вот она истина, вот уже перед твоими глазами.
How is it even possible to use the science correctly if all the scientific axioms are saying here is the truth in front of you and based on that you continue?
We're using science within the framework of this world, within the framework of our egoistic perception, inanimate, vegetative, animate and speaking, which happens in our will to receive, in order to enjoy, to receive pleasure. And if we investigate the substance, the matter, and its laws in this way, then we receive correct phenomena. Correct phenomena. The science is truth. There is the wisdom of truth, which is the wisdom of Kabbalah. That's something else. That includes all the possibilities. But within the framework of the substance of still vegetative animate speaking, More accurately, still vegetative and animate, we trust science 100%. Because the laws are absolute permanent laws inside the egoistic substance. We don't understand psychology because it's not a science. We don't understand philosophy that we develop because it's not a science. But everything else that we have inside our experience, in our substance of the will to receive, it is science. Now, the wisdom of Kabbalah does not belong to that. And it doesn't run against this science, this corporeal material science. It's not against it because it's all correct. Only the wisdom of Kabbalah is based on another law, a law of bestowal, and not a law of reception. And that's why it's completely different. And not that it's completely opposite to the science, meaning it's based on the will to receive, but the attainment is despite its intention in order to receive. Rather, how the will to receive behaves if it works with an opposite intention in order to bestow. So we need to develop the intention in order to receive, inside the will to receive, the bigger the better. And corresponding to that, we can discover the will to receive with the intention of in order to bestow. But the will to receive remains the same will to receive. In fact, it grows and grows more and more. But it's the will to receive. Only the intention. We're adding an additional intention in order to bestow compared to the will to receive with the intention in order to receive. That's what we have. So, therefore, there is no contradiction between the wisdoms of the world and the wisdom of Kabbalah. Rather, only the approach is opposite. It's different. But not that they... Only fools think that science cancels the wisdom of Kabbalah, or the wisdom of Kabbalah cancels science. It's incorrect. Those are two areas that are totally different. They don't contradict one another. The wisdom of Kabbalah simply adds, according to a different principle, an additional principle. So there's nothing here. In order to be a Kabbalist, you don't have to abstain from science, God forbid. You can be a scientist together with that.
So what's the miracle of Chanukah then?
Truly, what is Chanukah? We have such a question. The Gemara asks. We have it somewhere here. I don't know.
The miracle of Hanukkah. Well, what is the miracle of Hanukkah?
Miracle means that it's not within the hand of men. It comes from above. The quality of Binah, the quality of bestowal, that comes from above, and we would begin to discover our vessels in the light of bestowal, in light of Binah, to work in this form of Bina, of bestowal. That's a miracle.
To me, the miracle to who? What?
A miracle is to the person who comes to it.
In Hanukkah? In Purim you come to that, no?
No, there's a miracle of Hanukkah, a miracle of Purim.
So I'm asking about Hanukkah.
All the miracles come from the Creator.
What's the difference between the miracle of Hanukkah and the miracle of Purim?
That's a different question. You didn't ask about it.
Now, both are miracles. What's the miracle here?
Miracle is when the light comes and shines to you and lets you use the vessels of bestow in order to bestow. That's the miracle of Hanukkah. And vessels of receiving in order to bestow, that's the miracle of Purim. You have to study. What can we do that you don't study?
How should we be cautious and pay attention that a workshop won't become a Greek workshop, but stay a Hashmonite workshop?
Because the workshop has to be about connection, not that we give each other beautiful answers. Connection. That's a goal.
Does that depend on each and every one of us? The laws of the workshop themselves, are they what pulls us out of the being Greek?
The laws of the workshop are the laws of the workshop. If you keep them, you come to the correct result. You can sit in a circle of scientists or philosophers or psychologists, and you can think that you're sitting among Kabbalists. It all depends on your inner intentions. What do you want to get out of the workshop?